You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Pleased to be joined by Jeffrey Flanagan. Jeffrey, we're going to play a little choose-your-own-adventure here. We can either tackle the good news or the bad news first. I'll let you pick.
Well, I didn't know there was that bad of news, but we'll start there.
The bad news? All right. So the Royals have dropped 5 of 6 coming into the month of June. And then you have to remember, of course, that this team was 2 games under .500 in late July last year, so there's never any time for panic. But this is probably their first, you know, real test of the season as far as a stretch that hasn't really gone their way. What's been your take on what's going on the last week or so?
Yeah, it's actually their first rough patch since you have to go back to late August of last season. So it's new to them. I think there's obviously no panic. These guys have a lot of confidence in themselves, but there's, you know, you just don't like these streaks to happen. And there's been a different reason almost every night for why these games, just like the losing streaks happen with all teams. You know, there's always a different culprit every night. It's not just the offense going south. It's not just pitching. It's, you know, a little bit of everything. Really, the game they lost yesterday was a tough one to lose. They played really well for 11 innings, and they lose on a bloop single. So, you know, who do you fault on that? You know, Jason Frazier made a great pitch. He just got beat. They just got beat. They played a pretty good game Friday against the Cubs, hit the ball well and pitched pretty well. Got a win there. The Yankee series is the only aberration here where they just really didn't show up for 2.5 of those games. And just started badly with the Jeremy Guthrie start, which was historically bad, one of the worst starts in, I think you have to go back to 1914. So that kind of got that series off on the wrong foot. But he goes again tonight, or Tuesday night, and so we'll see how he bounces back. It's not a team he traditionally pitches well against, the Indians, because of all the left-handers, but he's going to have to bounce back, and we'll just see what kind of grit they got, if they can just, you know, come back and pull themselves out of this little slide.
All right, so that was the bad news, and like we said, it's only bad relative to how hot the Royals started the season. But the good news, my goodness, has this team captured people's imagination. The first All-Star Game ballot results came out last week. 5 Royals were in the pole position at their position so far. 4 more in the running. Salvador Perez led all players in voting. I think that just goes to show just how much this team has gripped people's attention, especially, obviously, in that particular market in Kansas City. But I think even nationwide, you look at Phil Rogers wrote about this the other day, but, you know, you're at Wrigley Field, and there's a ton of Royals fans representing there. And then at home, geez, more than 10,000 more fans per home game than last year. So, you know, you win a World Series, or you go to a World Series, sorry, and you get there the way the Royals did, with such dramatic games along the way, and you're gonna get some attention.
Yeah, and locally and nationally, as you mentioned. I mean, locally, they drew pretty well last year when they clinched the playoffs in Chicago. There was a big throng of Royals fans who drove up or flew up for that clinching. And this weekend in Chicago was just unbelievable. Everywhere you went in Chicago, you saw Royals shirts and caps and stuff like that. It was pretty amazing, and they got a pretty good "Let's Go Royals" chant going at Wrigley, which I'm sure, you know, kind of upset a lot of Cubs fans. But the team travels well, and you mentioned the All-Star voting. You know, that can't just be Kansas City alone, because it's a pretty small market. And even if they're really stuffing the ballot boxes, they probably couldn't get the margins that they did with the, you know, the first week of voting, for the release of it at least. There has to be some nationwide love too going on there, and it stems, as you mentioned, from October and the kind of ball they play. And, you know, I talked to several players about it, and they think too that the fighting that went on in April kind of caught the nation's attention too, and the suspensions, and, you know, going from America's darling to the bad boys of baseball, and, you know, it's a pretty good narrative going on there for a while. So they do have increased their popularity all over the place, and it's always been kind of strong in Kansas City. It's been absolutely bolstered by their strong run last year. Attendance, you mentioned, way up. They're just drawing almost 30,000, over 30,000 a game. It's pretty amazing to witness. I haven't seen it since I first got to Kansas City in 1989. So it's pretty cool to watch.
Absolutely. And more good news arrived over the weekend with Alex Rios coming off the disabled list. And, you know, you always wonder anything with the hand or wrist for a power hitter, you know, how that's going to impact him. What's the thinking there with Rios as far as you know, how quickly he'll get back in the swing of things?
It might be a while. You know, he did hit a home run on rehab at Omaha. I didn't see it, so I don't know if it was, you know, a bomb or if it just right. was wind blown home or anything like that. But, you know, he's just had one game, so it's kind of hard to judge. And it was a horrible elements for it, too. 45 degrees at game time, the wind blowing in about 25 miles an hour was not very conducive to hitting. So hard to judge his first game back just from that because nobody hit that game. So, but, you know, he's battled through injuries before in his career. Went through a different type of hand injury, a thumb injury last year that really hampered him. And Ned Yost and Dayton are certainly hoping it doesn't happen again this year. But he said that the pain is very manageable. He still feels it a little bit. You know, the healing is almost complete. So you just kind of hope that he can get through the pain and get his timing back and add some more punch to this lineup.
Speaking of additions, and we're talking, you know, further out in the season here, but Chris Medlin, how close is he to a rehab assignment? We know he's a potential rotation piece for this club down the road.
Yeah, it's kind of a timing issue there because they don't want the clock to start ticking on his rehab assignment anytime soon here. They feel like he's still, you know, probably a month and a half away from being able to contribute. So he can hang around an extended spring. I think they still have some activities going till I think it's June 18th or so. There's some magical date there where they can't keep him down there anymore, even with his permission. Then he has to go out on assignment somewhere. So I'm guessing they'll push it right up until about then. And then you start the clock on the 30-day rehab, and that pushes you to about July 18th, which is what they kind of originally thought anyway. So he's pitching against batters now, looking good. But, you know, what do you do with him when he's ready? I mean, they've already got to make some tough decisions. You know, when Danny Duffy comes back, someone's going to have to get bumped out of the rotation probably. Who's that going to be? You're not going to do it with Chris Young, you wouldn't think. Guthrie's not really a bullpen guy. Vargas is not really a bullpen guy. Not to mention you have to bump somebody off the roster because no one has any options. And so that might be a Joe Blanton who's pitched pretty well. And if you bring Medlin back in late July, now a lot of things can happen, obviously, between now and then. But,
yes.
You know, there's still another roster decision you make. I mean, as you go into the rotation, then who else comes out? You know, it's they have some decisions to make. I guess they would call them good ones because you know, you got that much depth. But and also you got to find out if Chris Medlin can get big league hitters out. You know, that's just not a given after two Tommy John surgeries. But they're hopeful.
They are. And speaking of rotation depth, we spoke a little bit on last week's podcast about Brandon Finnegan. And it sounds like in the time since then, there's been some change in thinking as far as what's best for him down in the minor leagues. He's now starting at Omaha. It sounds like they want to address his arm slot as part of that.
Yeah, I think they thought while he was working primarily out of the stretch and just throwing sliders and fastballs that his arm slot had dropped pretty down to the side, and they want him to be a little bit more of a top, and they thought maybe if they get him back into a windup, which he hasn't pitched out of the windup since last July. So if they get him back into that, you know, he might improve his arm plot. I thought he actually pitched pretty well the way he was doing it anyway, but they just kind of totally flipped on their decision-making about him. He was just going to be work out of the pen in the minors, and now they want him to start. Although they did say that he will be available to Ned in the bullpen if they need him. So, you know, it's not like that. I don't think he's going to go to necessarily 100 pitches anytime soon. I think they'll keep him at 40 to 60, start him, and he'll probably go three innings or something like that. But just get used to starting and going from the windup. But if Ned needed him in a moment's notice, boom, he'd be back here just like that. So and working out of the bullpen. But, you know, long range, obviously, they've drafted him as a starter. And that's probably the way they still view him. But, you know, you got to do what's best for your team at this level. That's what it's all about. And if he can help you win games here out of the bullpen, boom, that's where he's going to be.
Yeah. They have to be pretty encouraged with your Donaventura. I mean, two of his last three outings have just been absolutely dominant over seven innings. I think one earned run allowed in those 14 innings in those two starts. And there's one in between there against St. Louis where he gave up, I think, four runs in seven innings. But
He actually pitched pretty well that game too. He ran into a couple for five innings of that game against St. Louis. He was absolutely dominant. He made one mistake to Carpenter, and he paid for it. So, he seems to be back on track, and that's a big relief because you got him and Volquez and Chris Young, three guys in rotation are really pitching well. Vargas actually pitched pretty well against the Yankees in a loss in New York. The only guy who's struggling right now is Guthrie, and you know. He might be the odd man out if Duffy comes back in the next week or two because Danny threw off the mound on Sunday, reported that he felt fine. He'll probably go out on a rehab assignment maybe this weekend, maybe one or two starts, and then he'd be eligible to come back to the rotation. Someone's got to go, and if Jeremy doesn't pick it up, you know, he might be the guy out.
Yeah. All right, well... Hey, even when they've lost five or six, still mostly good news with the Royals, right? This division is brutal, though, Jeffrey. Jeez.
Blink for one minute,
and the Twins pass you by. Who knew?
Ned was talking about that in the office the other day with us, and you know, just the effect that Torrey Hunter's had on that team, and how they've just transformed into a team that believes they can win again, and. I don't know what ridiculous stretch they're on. What have they won, like 20 out of 25 or something? You just look in the standings every day and they've won. And Detroit started to slip a little bit, but, you know, Cleveland's come on really strong. Their power arms and the rotation have come back, and the Royals always knew they would. They fear the Indians a lot, or respect them a lot. And so here they're bouncing back. And, it's going to be quite a battle down the stretch because, you know, Detroit's going to bounce back. And no one's really given up on the White Sox either. They think that they're kind of underachieving right now, so they're probably due for a big run too. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty wild. As they said in the offseason, it's probably the best division in baseball, and it might pan out to be that way.
Absolutely, and this Royals-Indians series this week should be a nice test for both clubs here as we get closer to that midway mark. And I want to thank Jeffrey Flanagan for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.